the Canadian Bitcoiners podcast is just two guys and maybe a guest or two discussing Bitcoin, Bitcoin equities, and the related macroeconomic space. It's not meant to be financial advice, so please, if you're doing any investing after listening to our program, do your own research, do your own due diligence, and understand that any money you invest can be lost. The show is meant for entertainment purposes only, and we hope you enjoy the program. Friends and enemies, happy ETF approval day to all those who celebrate. My name is Joey here with you tonight on a Wednesday. My wife has both dogs upstairs. Those of you listening on Monday night know that I'm babysitting a Black Lab Bernese mix named Tito, my in-laws. He's a monster. They've been playing all day. And so God bless my wife for taking care of them tonight. Well, I get to talk to you guys and Adam and Cole from CoinOS. First, though, the sponsors, EasyDNS, best place for you to host your content. The friendly neighborhood registrar, domain hoster, as Mark always says. If you want to host a website, you want to move a website over, you want to start a new business, you want to do something that needs a website to visit, to patronize your services, Mark is your guy. You can get over there, EasyDNS.com. Transfer all your email over there, start a new email account with your new website, virtual private servers, whether you want to do a Nostr relay, Bitcoin node, nodeless implementation, you name it. Okay, whatever you want to do, he'll help you do it. He's helping us do it. CanadianBitcoiners.com is our website. Go check it out. You probably like it. It's got our latest rip. It's got stuff from CBP Media. It's got all kinds of stuff. If you want your website to look like that, get over there. CBP Media is the code. Talk to Mark on Twitter. Talk to Mark wherever you can find him. Get 50% off your first buy. I know some of you have done this already, and I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys are producing. Second sponsor, what a day for them today, I'm sure. Bull Bitcoin, best place for you to buy and sell if you want. I don't know why you'd want to sell after today. Your Bitcoin, we love them for a number of reasons. One, you can go there and really live on the Bitcoin standard, right? You pay your bills with their bills service, whether it's your property tax, your cell phone bill. I'm pretty sure you can even pay your university. One time I went to that drop-down menu and looked for Brock University, it was there. Amazing stuff. You can't beat that. And on top of that, as we talk about all the time, okay, as you see Gary today writing his little, you know, I approve the ETF, but I don't approve of Bitcoin. You're going to hear a lot more of this from politicians, I think, not approving of Bitcoin. So what are you going to do? You should buy KYC free. Go to the post office, bring your cash, bring your QR code, and get your Bitcoin self-custody, non-custodial, in your account quickly as possible with barely any spread for non-KYC. You can't beat that. There's no ATM who will give you that benefit. So head over there. Iwantbitcoin.ca is where you can go to use our promo code. If you've already signed up, today's a good day to buy, man. ETF, you got to like that. Flows are coming according to a number of people in suits and ties. I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Who cares? Government's going to keep printing. So head over bullbitcoin.com. Let's bring them in. Let's bring in the boys here. We got Cole. We got Adam. Cole was struggling with OBS earlier. I'm pretty sure Cole is younger than me, but really on his boomer tip tonight. And Adam confirmed that he's not in charge of any tech-related stuff at CoinOS, thankfully, because this would have been a short interview. So I'm glad to have you guys finally. I won't apologize. I apologize to Adam. I think I dropped the ball when we were messaging each other over the summer and fall. We got busy here. I ended up moving late summer, and I forgot about a bunch of stuff. And so I'm glad to finally have you guys on the show. And I know people have been talking to me about having you guys on. You've been doing a lot of stuff on other podcasts. And I'm going to shout out Dave Bradley, who sent me a message and reminded me that you guys wanted to come on. And I'm like, we got to get him. We got to get him. So thank you. And I'm apologizing for this. Not your fault. My fault. Listener, viewer, my fault. Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight? What's going on over there?
Doing well. Yeah, I'm up in a place called Manning Park on a little ski trip with my family. So in the lodge here, just finished a nice day of skiing, so feeling good.
Yeah, I'm doing phenomenal on a day like today for sure. Just in beautiful Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, just living it up, you know.
Love to see it, boys. I love to see it. Now, I want to give you a chance to tell people maybe like the give me like the intro to CoinOS. You guys are, I say this, I'm coming from my point of view. You guys are relatively unknown, and it's not really fair. I look at some of the stuff you guys have done and some of the services you guys provide. I think this is a really important product that not enough people know about. So why don't you tell me a bit about the CoinOS origin story? You know, what was the need that created the product and all these things? The floor is all yours. Whoever wants to discuss it, or if both of you want to discuss it, I'm all ears.
I always lead with that, so maybe I'll give Cole a turn to give that this time.
Are you sure? Because the camera thing earlier, Adam, like, I don't know. Is he
on? Redeem himself. Yeah. Okay. The origin of Koinos. So, I met Adam a couple of years ago about 2.5 years ago in Vancouver at a Bitcoin meetup. By the way, the Bitcoin meetups here, the BitDevs meetups here are very, very good, very good quality. You'll meet a lot of great people there. And we both just had the same goal in mind, and that is to expand the Lightning Network as much as possible to as many users as possible. Koinos has been online, it's been a working web app since 2012. And we had our 11-year anniversary in November of last year. And so I've been in Bitcoin myself since about 2015. So that's how me and Adam were able to kind of click. And that's how we were able to do something together, is because I have experience in general. And we've been onboarding as many merchants as possible. We started out with just like one or two merchants. Me and Adam were like high-fiving each other when we onboarded one merchant, and then a second merchant, and then a third merchant. We were like, holy, this is awesome. We're on a roll. And then we got up to 15 merchants, which was amazing. And now we're up to about 30 or 35 merchants actively accepting Bitcoin Lightning in Vancouver itself.
Just in Vancouver, 35.
Yeah. Wow. And it's growing fast. Like, we have multiple other ones waiting on the sidelines on deck, ready to come on board too. Yeah. And then we have over 375 worldwide, big communities around the world. Brazil is very bullish. There's some in Miami. There's some in Ontario as well. But Brazil is probably Brazil is the biggest international community outside of Vancouver. In North America, Vancouver, I think, is the most Bitcoinized city. If we were actually to do like per capita, the amount of places that are accepting Bitcoin, we think that Vancouver is the most Bitcoinized city.
Why Vancouver? What is the, I mean, I nothing, at least right away when I start thinking about it, nothing really pops out to me that says this is a place that's going to be really malleable to like Lightning merchant. Why them? Is it just because that's kind of your home base? Like, that's where you can put the most pressure on? Is that what it is, or is it something else?
Yeah, no, that is a very good question. I'm glad you asked that, because you're right. Vancouver by itself is not really one of those places that would be a place so popular with newfound tech and stuff. That'd be more of a Toronto thing if you were to like compare both cities in their bare form. But we have a very strong community here. It's all about the community. So our community has been growing at a very fast rate. And the fact that we have a community going to each merchant, spending Bitcoin and Lightning and supporting us, not just Koinos, but any Bitcoin company within Vancouver, that's what is driving the adoption. It's the strength of the community here. And then since me and Adam are both going around talking to merchants and stuff, boots on the ground, many different merchants, we're building more of a community when we're able to go to one street downtown and we can say, hey, they over there accept Bitcoin. Yeah. They over there accept Bitcoin too. And then they over there accept Bitcoin too. And that makes it easier for us to onboard merchants in a certain area. Building that circular economy.
I think this is a good idea. Adam, you said you did you're the sort of development tech brains behind this operation, Koinos. I keep saying Koinos, Koinos. What was the impetus to design something like this? I can't imagine a lot of vendors, I mean, I guess it depends on the size, but in my mind, I can't imagine a lot of vendors want to add this service, you know, this platform to an already existing set of like payment options. There's a little bit of friction. You have the whole Bitcoin thing. You have to explain Bitcoin to them some of the time. When you're designing something like this from the ground up, how do you minimize the sort of like fighting you have to do with each vendor? Because like I said, in my head, and we've done it, the three of us have done this many times over the years with our friends, family, why is Bitcoin important? Why you should care? I honestly don't think I could make the case to a vendor, at least right now. Maybe after tonight I'll be able to. I don't know where I would start with a vendor and be like, listen, I know Visa and MasterCard are easy, but trust me, you're going to love this Lightning implementation thing these guys have. How did you design it, Adam? What were you thinking about? And, you know, were you trying to get in front of any of these conversations?
Yeah, I guess originally I wanted to make it easy for vendors to take Bitcoin because I wanted them to start using that as a better form of money. I want everyone to start using Bitcoin instead of dollars. And not having the transaction fees is kind of a big point, because a lot of merchants pay 2 or 3% to take those card payments. And all the customers don't really think about that, because you just want to go in. It's easy to tap your Visa card. You get, you know, cash back or reward points, air miles. And so everyone wants to tap their card, and it's super easy. You just go in and you tap and you're done. So it is kind of hard to convince the merchants to try something different. But yeah, they are eating that cost. Like, those reward points, those cash back points are being paid for by the merchants. They're It's not coming out of Visa's goodwill or anything.
Even the cash back. Really? Okay. I honestly didn't know that. Oh. I was going to say it's probably easier after the last week or so to convince people not to worry about the airline points, because the door might fucking fly off mid-flight. But with the other stuff, you might still have a difficult time. I didn't realize that merchants were eating those costs. I knew there was like the fees, but the cashback never really occurred to me. How is that like common thing? How come people don't know that?
I mean, it's not directly linked to like the cashback that your customers are getting. The merchants aren't paying more or less depending on what, you know, points their customers are getting, but they're paying a flat sort of 2 or 3%. On every transaction. So that's what's being used to fund those reward programs. And as a result, like the merchants, they're eating that cost. So they have to, you know, pass that on to the customer indirectly through higher prices. Or I guess it is kind of direct. So, but customers don't think about that, right? They just think, oh, this is the price that this thing is. And then I'm getting 1 or 2% back because I'm using my card instead of paying with cash. But that, you know, 1 or 2% you're getting back, you wouldn't be paying that if the merchant didn't have to eat those costs in the first place. So it's sort of this roundabout, like a hidden tax or hidden cost that everyone's paying across the board all the time, because everyone wants to use their card all the time. So it would be better if everyone was using Bitcoin or cash and the merchants didn't have to pay those costs all the time. But it's not really enough to, like, you know, convince a merchant, just that 2 or 3%. It is a big cost for them because it's coming right out of their revenue.
But it's not enough. That was my next question. It can't be enough. So what, like, you must have said, I mean, you two handsome guys show up. Okay. You got your charming pants, your charming shirt. What do you tell them? 3%. Because what is the old story, right? I think this is actually like a tech, maybe this originated in tech, but for you to drag somebody off of an inferior product, you can't just be 2%, 3% fees better. You have to be like 10x user experience UI better, right? And so you guys must have convinced at least a few vendors of that, 375-ish by the sounds of things, maybe. Well, how did you do it? What's the next kind of gradual step in that conversation?
Another one that we do is we'll just let them know that they're going to get more sales. They're going to get more customers because we have a big community here. There's hundreds of Bitcoiners in Vancouver, thousands even. And we prefer to shop at places that take Bitcoin versus ones that don't. And we hold events, we hold meetups, and we promote the business. Like, whenever a new business comes on board, we put them out on our social media. We let everyone in the Telegram group know.
That's great.
We get the word out and start bringing people around there to support them. So they're getting, you know, more business if they take Bitcoin. That's the main thing, more than the fees, I would say.
Cole, what do you think? That does that about sum it up? I mean, I will say, like, it's funny. I joke about the, you know, home turf pressure, putting pressure on people. I still remember meeting you at the Bitcoin conference. And I thought, going away from that introduction, I'm like, this guy's not going to take no for an answer, even if I try. So I just wonder, like, when you go to the vendors, you give them this stuff, do they still hesitate? And I don't want to put you on the spot, but if they do hesitate, you know, which I would guess a bunch of them do, if for no other reason than because they don't want to do it right then and there, right? They don't want to talk about it right then and there. What is like the sort of thing you leave behind to try and entice them? This is an important part of sales, right? I think there's always like a touch point that they have to have sort of when you're not in the room. Maybe they have it before, right? Maybe they think about the sort of fees or the extra customers before you get there and you're just the guy who puts it together for them. But oftentimes you're introducing a new idea. And then later they have to have like a sort of an epiphany, a second realization, like, man, Cole was here last week. I remember him talking to me about this. He's right. This is an, I just experienced this again. Maybe I should call him back. What is that thing that really ties the bow on the sales pitch for you guys?
Yeah, it's guaranteeing them extra sales is pretty helpful, but then also following up with them consistently. And in those consistent emails, always be posting our links to the maps and stuff. And then also giving them a phone call every once in a while. I'll give out of maybe every few email, every like two or three email follow-ups, I'll do one phone call. And then I'll be like, hey, remember you have those links in the email to look at the maps. So I would say that the tying, like what seals the deal for the most part is they clue into the extra sales because they can see the other businesses in the proximity. And then my consistent, like sometimes there's some merchants we've onboarded where I've given them 9 email follow-ups. And even I, so you know that cartoon?
Do you tell Dave Bradley to go follow up with the stores too? Or that was just for me?
Tell Dave Bradley to follow up with the stores?
Yeah.
Oh, with the store? Yeah. No. So I was telling, I was telling Dave Bradley to reach out to you because Dave Bradley was in contact with me, right? Yeah. No, I was telling Dave Bradley, I'm like, hey, because I know that he recommended to us that we like go on here.
Yeah, right? I'm fucking with you.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do. Okay. So before you keep going, the map is, as you mentioned, it's stores that are also on the CoinOS platform that have sort of embraced the Lightning Network stuff. They're using the product and you can show that there's a significant proliferation in, I guess, some communities in Vancouver where you can see like, look, this is a Bitcoin neighborhood now. All Bitcoiners are going to sort of flock to this area when they need whatever product. And that's the thing that seals the deal. I like that. I think that's a good strategy. And it shows that the product not only is being kind of, you're getting uptake, but also people are actually using it. That's big, right? You can kind of show, look, here's the number of transactions these guys are getting. Now, my next question, I'm not familiar with the vendors you have onboarded in Vancouver. The sort of a modern city, Toronto West, some of us call it. What kind of vendors are we talking? Are they medium size? Are they mom and pop? Are they like, who are we talking about here? Any names I would know? Or are they kind of local shops who are looking to expand, looking to grow their influence? Where would you put the stores you guys are onboarding on that spectrum?
Yeah, so we have a couple franchises that are using us. They only have a couple stores within their franchises, but Artigiano is a pretty big coffee shop chain in BC. They have one of their locations currently using us. They did have two. That's one of the bigger companies using us. Milano Coffee Roasters is a pretty big coffee company, coffee tea cafe chain in Canada. They're using us at one of their locations as well.
Nice.
And then other kinds of, barbers, various kinds of restaurants, like different, like you can have many different styles of restaurants that are accepting Bitcoin in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. Yeah, barbers, you can get your, there's two butchers using us in different areas of the city.
That's great.
Yeah, it's good, right? A lot of Bitcoiners like that one for sure. And then you can even get your boat. There's a boat repair, like a very big boat repair company, like yacht boat repair that's accepting Bitcoin. You can get your windows changed, long life windows in Vancouver. We pay with Bitcoin for that as well. And then there's various other different kinds of companies and other international communities using us, right? So even in like Florida, there's an exotic car rental company that you can use, right, as well.
I love this though. Like that's such a broad spectrum. I don't know if Bitcoin is worth enough per coin for the yacht repairs yet, but maybe like next year, year after, maybe I'll zip over when I buy my mega yacht. Think about getting some repairs done. Yeah. I don't know. Okay, so Adam, talk to me about the product. This is the sort of bread and butter here. You have the fancy website. I'll pull it up again because I took it down. I was tired of looking at it because I like seeing the people I'm talking to, but I'm going to pull it up again. And I want to hear about the product that you guys put into retail outfits. Because to me, again, like when I think about stuff like this, I always compare it to, and I'm sure you guys thought about this as well. The first thing I think about is a Square terminal, right? Is this going to be as smooth, as slick, as sort of friction-free as a Square terminal is? I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Online, it looks great. And I've seen some of your videos, Cole, where you kind of show like how this is being used. It looks pretty cut and dry. It's like Lightning invoice here, or send your payment, done and done. Bob's your uncle. Talk to me a bit about the product. Let's hear sort of some of the features, the design prowess, stuff you're proud of, stuff you maybe want to fix, improve. Floor's all yours, guys.
Sure. So it's a web wallet. So you don't need to install it from the App Store or the Play Store. You just go to our website, you click the start button and you'll be able to register a username and password. The username is just, it can be a random username. It doesn't have to be an email. We don't ask for any other information besides that. So you can just type in some gibberish and it'll create an account for you. Yeah, there you go. Nice. Okay, so now you're logged in. This is your Bitcoin Lightning wallet. You can just use it as a personal wallet, right? Like just like a Wallet of Satoshi or Phoenix or some of these other mobile wallets. It's somewhere you could just receive Bitcoin into. So
nice.
Let me send you a payment. Let me just get into my testing account here.
I'll throw my thing up here. How much should I charge you? CBP does not charge for
payments. I'm just going to push a payment to you, actually. Okay. You don't even need to do anything.
Oh, you can do push payments. Nice. Okay, great. Oh, yeah, look at that. That's amazing. Okay. So it shows up. Let me go back to my homepage here. Look at that. $1. Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah, the dollar.
Just like that. So it's also one of the pain points. This is my personal view, okay? One of the pain points in something like Wallet of Satoshi, for example, and the mobile platform is that it's all people just like flinging out these QR codes and usernames that don't mean anything to them. So oftentimes they don't remember them or they, you know what I mean? Like this kind of stuff is bothersome. It's not quite Venmo-esque yet, but that was pretty damn slick. And yeah, so this is obviously something you guys have considered quite a bit. When you show this to vendors, they must love that. Now, the other question I have is when you send a payment like that, you're sending it from any Bitcoin wallet. If a vendor wants to do like a refund, for example, do you ever have like issues with people coming in? I think about my own situation. My wife tried to bring back Christmas lights. We didn't use the Canadian Tire earlier today. Let's say they were on my credit card, not hers, right? So she goes back to a place, maybe the person who had the Bitcoin, you know, when they went to make the purchase isn't there to do the return. Is this something vendors talk about, think about? Do they care? It sounds like you guys maybe are not working with vendors that are in that circumstance yet, but have you considered it? Assuming you want to expand to that sort of retail market, what are you thinking about stuff like that? Just like random user experience. I don't want to call them edge cases because it's not that much of an edge case, but stuff like that. Are you considering all that or is it not really on the table yet?
It hasn't come up that I've ever heard in like a real vendor situation, but they could just manually refund the user. So if you go to the arrow button, it's like the second one. Yeah. That's your send dialogue. Mm. And so you can see Bob there. That's the account I sent the payment from. So I'm in your contacts now. You could just click on my profile and you could send money back to me.
Wow.
You could also, if you go back to that send page, there's a QR scan button. So you could bring up your camera and then...
This computer is not a camera. But
yeah, if you're on a mobile device, it'd work better, I guess. So you're using your camera right now. But yeah, you'd be able to scan a QR if they wanted you to refund them to another wallet or something.
That's very slick.
Yeah.
That is very slick.
Or you could also just give a cash refund. It's up to the merchant. Like they can just, you know, give them $20 cash and... in their point of sale, we tell them to just treat Bitcoin payments the same as they do cash payments. So no matter what sort of system you have, whether it's Square or Clover or Moneris, like all these different proprietary point of sale systems and accounting systems, they can all take cash payments. So we just tell them when you get Bitcoin, if you get like a $5 worth of Bitcoin, put it in as $5 Canadian in whatever system you have. And if you need to print a customer receipt or something, it just works the same as cash.
Huh. Okay. So do you get questions about tax implications for stuff like this?
Oh, yeah.
And what do you tell them? Like, I think about my own personal kind of Bitcoin stash. People want to like, you know, send you Bitcoin. You want to get, I think even the invoices we get for like advertisers who partner with CBP, they always say, like, do you want to get paid in Bitcoin? As much as I want to, it's too much of a pain to get paid in Bitcoin. Then have to, you know, if you need to pay a show expense or like buy a microphone or something, you pay taxes on all, you know the drill. What do you say to the retailers? I mean, you tell them to treat it like cash, but can they really? Like, you guys obviously have more experience with this than me. What am I missing? What is the obvious sort of thing that I'm not getting here?
Yeah, we do just tell them to treat it like cash. And for income reporting purposes, if you're a retailer, you're taking a bunch of payments, we record what the value of the Bitcoin is at the time of sale. So if you go to that middle button in the menu there, it kind of looks like a clock.
Yeah.
It'll have your transaction history. And you can see down at the bottom, it says,
Adam, are you kidding? Are you kidding me with this? This is great. This is like what everybody is looking for in a service like this. Everyone is asking for this exact thing.
We try to make it easy. Yeah. You get a report of what your Bitcoin were worth at the time you acquired them. And so if you then go and sell these Bitcoins and you make a profit off it, it's going to be really easy to calculate here. And you see there's an export button. You can get a CSV. So you have a spreadsheet of all your payments. And you can import that into your QuickBooks or whatever accounting software you're using.
So for people who are listening on audio, you should be going to the video to watch this. It's coinos.io. Make an account. Send me money. My username is Dave Bradley. No spaces. On this screen, it's the payments I've received. So Adam sent me something from his test account. And it's got everything there. The total I received, the present value, and the gain loss all in one place. This is great. This is exactly what merchants are worried about when you tell them, I don't want to take Bitcoin because I'm afraid of the tax man, or I won't be able to figure this out. I'll have to pay like a crypto accounting service. It's all right here. You could give this to anybody and treat it. I mean, it's basically like 4x, right? Adam just sent me some more money there. Is that you, Adam, or is it someone else?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay, thank God. You never know, because people are watching this, right? You never know who's sending money here. Listen, don't send me any money that's been through like terrorist organizations. Okay, everyone, just keep your terrorism funding. So, okay, so my feeling about this is great. This looks really good. Why, if this can be used as a personal wallet, because these services, these tools are valuable to retailers, but they're also valuable to individuals, right? Everyone is thinking about this stuff, especially as. There's a kind way to put this. Prying eyes come down into the Lightning Network and they want to see how much you have, when you got it, when you sent it out, blah, blah, blah. Privacy is, you know, becoming a little bit more like cheesecloth every day in Bitcoin, part of the process of us growing up and evolving. Why don't you guys market this, or have you marketed it as an individual wallet as well? Because to me, I'm not a retailer. I still really like this. Is it just that you guys don't want to have to target two markets separately? You prefer to spend your time with the sort of retail facing outfits, or is it that you have a plan to do this and you're just not telling anybody and you want to announce it tonight?
No, we've been trying to promote it for people to use personally too. I think we're more focused on the merchant adoption. So yeah, maybe when people hear about us, they just assume we're just a merchant solution, like a POS almost, but yeah, it is just a regular wallet. It just happens to have features that are useful to merchants. One of the other ones we haven't really shown yet is the tip prompt. So if you're going to receive a payment, if you go into your settings there, it's the first one, and then preferences, there's tabs at the top. Yep. There's a prompt for tips toggle there that you can enable.
That's great. This is so good. And you guys do public Noster verification. You got to be kidding me. This is great, man. This is what everyone's looking for. Everyone wants the check mark. Like this is good for tips. So let's say you're running a barbershop, like you mentioned, Cole, you guys have a few barbershops. The barbers must love this kind of thing because then they can receive their tip in Bitcoin. I have paid my barber and tipped my barber in Bitcoin over the last, you know, few years when Bitcoin was a little lower. I'm not doing it now, but you know, are these guys into this kind of stuff? Is this something that really tips the scale in the service industry or what? Because restaurants, coffee shops, you mentioned a few, and actually TGEM in the chat giving a shout out to, who did I see here? Laughing Bean, first coffee shop here to take Bitcoin. Is that where you guys are? Is that somewhere out there, Laughing Bean?
Yeah. Yeah. We have a weekly meetup there every Monday morning.
Right on, man. I love it. So this is something that tips the scale, right? With the service industry, it's got to be.
And then every second week, so 1 week and then is at Laughing Bean, then the next week is at Artigiano, and we just cycle back and forth with those. And that's how another way that we expand the awareness of the merchant adoption.
This is killer. Like when you show this to, you know, waiters, waitresses, barbers, who else is on that list? I'm sure there's a few I'm missing, even butchers. Like they must love this kind of thing. Because really in today's, you know, strong Canadian economy, okay, the service industry relies so much on tips And this is really important for people who want to, you know, continue to receive tips, but maybe don't have an option to take Bitcoin tips through other POS. I don't want to call it a POS system since it's not really that, but you know, they lose that opportunity. But here you guys have thought about this. This is great stuff, man. And so you also have some Shopify integration here. Talk to me a bit about that, since I know a lot of people are doing the online store thing now. How does that look? I don't know the first thing about Shopify integration. I just know that every time I go on Instagram or YouTube, I get pushed an ad about it. So talk to me a bit about that. It's got to be important.
Sure. Yeah. If you click that button, it'll take you into show you some more settings. So people that have a Shopify store, there's an admin panel that they can go and set all the settings for their storefront. And we just get you to put in your store name there. And then there's a script tag that you just drop into this spot in the Shopify settings. And that'll enable a Bitcoin checkout. So people going to buy stuff from your online store through Shopify, when they go to checkout, they'll be able to see a Bitcoin option along with whatever other payment methods you have. And it'll use the Coinos API to generate a Lightning invoice for them to pay. And then there's a callback that it makes back to your Shopify account to mark when the order is paid. So that, people pay with Lightning and then the Shopify account or the order gets updated so that it can be shipped out or whatever. So it makes it really easy for people with Shopify to take Bitcoin or Lightning specifically.
Give me an example of a store that uses this, Cole. We gotta pimp some of the or promote or pimp, I guess one of the two. They both probably work.
I'm gonna shout out Murray Tico in Chilliwack
What is the link? Hit me with the URL. Give it to me.
Hold on.
We got to promote this. This is serious business. Nobody is doing this. Okay. Nobody is doing this. And if they are, it doesn't look nearly this clean and it's not this quick. I don't ever set up accounts on products that our guests are like talking about, but I mean, why not? Now I have a Shopify store selling David Bradley's feet pictures. So I may as well just continue to see where this goes. Okay. Send me the link. Give me the link. What is it?
I'm going to put it in the chat here.
Okay,
sure. I just have to link my YouTube account or something.
Okay.
Oh, maybe it doesn't.
If you go to the private chat in the StreamYard page, you can send it to me and then I can copy it. Yeah. Gotcha. YouTube is so tight with URLs now because everyone just trying to sell like follower services and you know actual OnlyFans pages every time you run a stream. Okay, let's see. Marias, you said it was? Am I saying that right?
It's pronounced Marae, or that's how I say it at least.
Okay, hold on. Let me switch up here. This is good content for the audio only.
I'm gonna stop by on my way back from where I am right now because I ordered some teas from them like a month ago that I've been waiting to pick up.
Okay, here we go. What'd you get? Are you a big tea guy? I gotta switch to tea. I drink too much coffee. Everyone tells me I gotta switch to tea.
I'm not a big tea guy, but he recommended the Assam tea. So that's
what Assam black. Yeah, I'm a very big tea guy. Got my teacups here, real teacups. Yeah.
Fuck you mean real teacups?
Well, no, I mean like actual China. No, like really good quality, like China teacups, like tea sets, right? Like actual, like
I'm like this guy's talking about like the Peter Pan buffet where they imagine everything. It just shows up. Like, no, that looks like a real teacup to me. Okay, so if I want to order a tea, let me see. Shop Bar tea, black teas. We'll just pick something here. I don't have enough money in my wallet, but I won't make you give me any more. So if I add to cart and then I go to place your order, I guess, right?
Yep.
I think. Okay. Hold on. Oh, I'm not sharing the screen. I didn't realize that. Hold on. There we go. Okay. Place your order.
People in the comments mentioning Park Drive. That's a pub or bar on Commercial Drive in Vancouver where we've been having some Bitcoin and beers meetups.
And I love this.
Ad hoc, just going for beers. So
sounds this is like jokes
happening tonight.
A guy named a Stupid Moose, who's a big, big friend of our show. Cole's explaining quality tea to me last week. He knows the shit. Great.
Shout out to Mike. Yeah, he's a great guy. Coincards.com is great.
Coincards.ca, I think.
Oh, here it is. Pay with Bitcoin. So, okay. So you pay with Bitcoin. Let's see. We'll pick it up, I guess. We have one location here. I don't want to put anything in because it's going to autofill all my personal information. But okay, so all you do is pay with Bitcoin. Then the next screen, it presumably takes you to a Lightning invoice, right? Do I have that right?
Yep, it should.
That's absolutely killer. I'm not going to do it because I don't want everyone knowing where I live. But so this is this is like, I mean, I got to say, I'm not a big pay with Bitcoin guy. I've taken a lot of shit for that in the chat and on Twitter over the years because I'd rather just pay with, you know, my moose shekels or whatever we're calling them today and be done with it and not worry about it. But the spend and replace thing is appealing to a lot of people because it does promote the circular economy, which is really our responsibility at this stage, I would say. And the issue has always been transaction fees, taxes, and friction, right? And it's not necessarily friction for us, but it's friction for the vendor. It's taxes for the vendor, and it's, you know, other sorts of, but you guys have basically wrapped everything up here, I think. What's on the sort of development roadmap that we didn't see yet? Because to me, this looks like almost a complete product. Looks like a complete product to me, honestly. I guess you could maybe do like a mobile app, but what else are you guys thinking about?
On the feature list is more Nostra integration, so more like social features. You saw we already have the contacts and things.
Yeah.
You can follow and message people now, and you'll be able to message them, like DM people within CoinOS, and it's sending like a Nostra DM. But being able to import your own Nostra keys and more integration with like Albi wallet. It's a browser extension wallet. So I've been meaning to integrate with them so that you can link your CoinOS account to your Albi extension and have it with you as you're browsing, other sites. So you don't have to like switch tabs and come back to CoinOS. You'll have your CoinOS account within Albi. Another thing we just kind of added recently was Liquid support. So Liquid Bitcoin is a side chain. It's another layer two of Bitcoin that does, you know, cheaper and faster transactions than regular Bitcoin. You're messaging me? Yeah.
So yeah. Like how sick is this? Because if you had like a phone app, this would be insane. This is the Venmo Bitcoin like evolutionary missing link here, boys. You know this, right? You know, you must know this. This is a great product. I can't wait to spam people that I don't know with messages for sats. This is fantastic. Okay, so continue. Sorry, I cut you off there. Keep going.
Yeah, the messaging is pretty rudimentary and buggy right now. So
it works. I sent you a message. You sent me a message back. Like what else do you need from a message? I'm not trying to, you know, it's not a you up, send me a picture message. Just a sup, like send me some sats or like, hey, don't forget about this thing we got going on. Or like you guys mentioned before, you guys do the meetups and it sort of revolves around these like nodes that are using CoinOS. This is a great way to share that, right? You can have vendors messaging people who have purchased stuff at their store with Bitcoin through the app. Am I dreaming that? Or is that like something you guys could do or implement in the future?
Yeah, that's the idea, is to make it really interactive, have people be able to just kind of, you know, like zap each other payments like we're doing on Nostra. Having a like prepayments, like where you pay the merchant for something before you even walk in the door, or like mobile ordering,
yeah,
is something I could see coming down the pipe soon, so that, you know, you're going to your same coffee shop every day, you get the same muffin and coffee or whatever, and it's the same price all the time in dollar terms, right? So you send the payment off, and the merchant, we've been giving them these little thermal printers. It's like a little receipt printer that connects to Wi-Fi and connects to their CoinOS account. So anytime they get a payment, a little ticket comes out and tells them what they got in dollars. So you can push payments to them that way. And a lot of the merchants will have a QR code like right at the cash register. So even when you're in store, you want to go up and buy something, instead of the staff having to pull out like a tablet or something for you to scan the QR code off of that to pay the invoice, they just the customer can just go to the merchant's profile page whenever they want and push a payment to them. So yeah, if you click that black button there, you'll
this
see
one. Yeah, okay.
Your profile page is coinos.io/DaveBradley. So you can direct anyone to go to that URL and they'll be able to push a payment to you over Lightning or on-chain Bitcoin or Liquid.
This is awesome. Okay, so where's the mobile app? What's the holdup here? I want the mobile app. How hard is it to do that? Can we not pay like a guy on Fiverr to get it started and then you guys
put the finishing touches? Why do you need a mobile app? Just curious.
I just think because when I think about sending Bitcoin to people, like I don't often think about doing it from like my computer, right? Like I want to be like in front doing it. And I want to do it with this kind of interface. The wallet of Satoshi interface, Nunchuck, like you pick your sort of implementation. I don't know what you guys think. Actually, I do know what you think. If you thought they were good, you wouldn't have done this. I think you probably know or think they suck too. The interfaces are no good. They're kind of clunky. They're not as clean. They're certainly not as aesthetically pleasing, which is all millennials and Zoomers care about. Like this is like the kind of thing that people would want. And if you put this on a mobile app, I mean, I'm not running the business, nor do I ever run businesses like this. But, the web app. Web app?
Yeah, okay. So it is a web app, right?
Okay,
so
you can
go into your browser settings. I got to actually add a button so it's like more obvious for people that you can install it as an app. So it's called a progressive web app or PWA. Right. And
You just add this to your home screen, right? Yeah, add to your home screen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you'll get an icon to launch it. And we made sure that when it's running like on a phone, that it's all responsive. So, you know, it looks, you know, like an app, like it fits on the phone screen when it's narrow. And
this is good.
It kind of looks and feels like an app, even though it's really a website still.
Well, it looks fine. No. Yeah. So yeah, all the dimensions are set better. Yeah, I can even see our DMs here. If I click the DMs, I can message you again.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is pretty good. This is really good. I take it back. So you're there. So I guess the next question then, logical question, I want to hear both your answers since I hear often when you guys are talking, I hear one sort of in the store, one in the development side, on the development side. What are the hurdles you're facing now? Because I think that by no fault of any of our own here, we've overcome a pretty significant one today with the ETF. You're going to see more mainstream acceptance, adoption, stuff like that. So what are the hurdles you're seeing for CoinOS going forward? Again, like for people who are on audio, you have to go to coinos.io and you have to see this to believe it, honestly. And you can send me a message and we will circulate Adam's sats until everyone knows about this. Okay. But I want to know from you guys, where is the hurdle to further adoption? What are you looking at as far as like barriers now? Where are the problems you're seeing?
I think you hit on it when you mentioned that people are reluctant to spend their Bitcoin. So even as Bitcoiners who want to see the Bitcoin circular economy grow, a lot of people just aren't that motivated to go and spend it at merchants. They just want to hold it and save it as an investment. So that's the next thing we got to tackle is incentivizing consumers. Right now we're incentivizing merchants a little bit because we're driving new sales to them or promoting them online. So we've got our spiel down to get new merchants. But the next thing is to get a whole lot more new customers, new consumers. And I think one of the ideas I have for that is to start doing a kind of cash back or loyalty points or rewards points for consumers. So when you go to any of our merchants, you're going to get 2% off I don't know the exact numbers yet.
Something.
We haven't rolled this out or announced anything yet, but you'll get something back. And that's going to hopefully take people from saying, oh, I just want to sit on my Bitcoin to, oh, I actually get a discount if I use Bitcoin. So I'm going to go out and prefer to start using it versus my credit card, even if it's a little more friction for the user to have to get out their phone and like go to the merchant's profile page and send them a payment versus just tapping that card and getting your loyalty points that way. We're going to have to make it so that the consumers actually want to use it more.
I think this is okay. That's important. Now, how do you, are you going to use the retailers to incentivize the consumers then? You sort of find a happy medium between them getting more customers and you promoting, you know, not just CoinOS, but the Bitcoin circular economy with 1% off or special, you know, members only, Bitcoin purchasers only stuff. I don't know how it would work. How do you have like a sort of I guess not, you don't have like quite a clear vision for it yet, but it's, you know, an idea that's in the oven at this point. That's good. Cole, what do you think on your side of things when you see, you know, when you go in and talk to people, you're trying to convince them, hey, this is something that you guys need. And, you know, you want to develop the product further. When it comes to the sort of issues you have, what would you like to see this thing, you know, what would you like to see this thing add?
What would I like to see us add? I would say more of a client base, more people in other communities as motivated as us to just understand the Lightning Network and teach other people about the Lightning Network. More awareness of the value of the Lightning Network. Because there's a lot of people I know who are very experienced in Bitcoin and they don't even understand the Lightning Network.
I never use it. I almost never use it. I'm guilty of that. This is going to change that for me, I think, quite honestly.
Nice. Yeah. And I don't blame you because there's, in my opinion, I don't think there's enough advertisement about it. I didn't even know what the Lightning Network was. Yeah. For a while, you know, like when I was investing in Bitcoin in 2015, that never came up. 2016 never came up on my news feeds or anything. So I would say that's something I would want to see improve from where we're at right now. And I think that that is improving with just the rate that we're growing and the rate that the user base and the merchant adoption is growing. That problem is definitely improving for sure.
Okay. So we're talking about sort of the future of Lightning transactions, stuff like that. Are you concerned? And actually Mark, Jeff Tavik brought this up in the chat. Apple has in the past nuked anything related to payments from running on its platform, basically as an app. Is that one of the reasons you've done the web app as opposed to the in-store app, or you're not?
It is.
That's a real concern then, eh?
Yeah, the app stores are easily censored, and you're kind of beholden to Apple and Google. They make the rules and they decide when to cut you off, and it's a lot of hoops to jump through, even if you're doing things that they don't mind you doing. Just filling out all the forms and releasing an app is just more work than updating a website. So for me as a developer, it's like a much more enjoyable experience to develop for the web, which is why I prefer it. But you're right. A lot of people are looking for an app. And as soon as we tell people, like, yeah, go and use our wallet, the first thing they'll do is launch the app store or the Play store and go and look for us there, and they won't find us there. So we have to do something about that.
So, I just want to add on this point. Whenever they say, oh, it's not an app, oh, I don't really like that, I'm able to really just kind of help them not focus on that. And I just show them that you can add a button to your home screen and it gives it the same effect as an app. And then there's been people in other countries, especially down south in like El Salvador and Costa Rica. Most recently, someone specifically in Costa Rica mentioned that Coinos essentially saved the day for him because his app store wasn't working when he was traveling internationally because his IP address on his phone or whatever, the app store was censoring him. But then he just opened up his browser with his native IP in Costa Rica and Coinos.io, he was able to get into his account. So that's happened to a few.
It's killer. And honestly, like I got a lot of apps on my phone. I totally forgot about the web app thing. But as soon as you said it, I'm like, oh yeah, you can just pin this to your home screen and you have like the app button and everything. And like, you can't tell me, again, not to rag on some of the other dev teams out there because everyone is trying their best to drive this thing forward. I appreciate that. And we all should. But I look at like the way you guys have built sort of just the look and feel of the web app, and it's better than the native iOS apps that I see for almost every wallet. Like, is it, I mean, I have Blue on my home screen here. And if I pull up the Blue wallet and compare just sort of the latency, loading times, I realize this is a bit of a different product. Everybody, okay, don't give me shit in the comments, but this is not as clean an interface as you guys have developed on Coinos. So congratulations to both of you for that. That's incredible. Now, before we go, I always ask kind of the same question of people when they're promoting something it cheapens the conversation to call what you're doing, to call this a promotion. It's not. This is a good discussion about where Lightning transactions and vendor relationships with Lightning and Bitcoin and all these things are going. I want to know what you want people to know about Coinos before we wrap up. What if you could just leave somebody with like, you know, a 2-minute pitch on this thing? What is it? You know, people are, they're ready to be dragged away from the fiat chains, boys. How are we going to do it? What do you tell them?
It's the easiest Bitcoin wallet to get started with. So username and password, no KYC. You don't need to go through the app store. And you have an account within seconds, literally. You can start receiving payments and sending them. And it's not for keeping your savings in. It's custodial. We have the keys. We didn't really touch on this too much. It's good for getting started. You get, you know, put $100 in there for spending around town, going to the merchants, buying coffees. Once you as a merchant, if you're receiving a lot of payments and it's getting over $1,000 or something, then we make it super easy to withdraw to your own self-custodial wallet. We're going to automate that in the future. That's another feature that I'm working on so that you can set like a threshold. Incredible. Once your balance hits a certain number, you move it out to your own wallet. And yeah, it's just a super convenient wallet that's just available anywhere in the world for people. You can use it as a personal wallet or as a business. You can link it to your Shopify store or use our API to take payments in whatever e-commerce platform you're using. And we just want to get more and more users onto Bitcoin. And oh, another thing that, you know, people don't really realize about us is that we're fully open source. So all this UI and the backend for CoinOS is all on GitHub. And if you don't want to trust us as the custodians, but you like the interface and you like just want to be able to connect it to your own node and stuff, that's possible. So you can run this on a web server, like a VPS in the cloud, with like a pruned Bitcoin node and a Lightning node. And I'm going to work on documenting that process a bit better to make it like super easy for people to set up their own CoinOS nodes. But that's another direction I'm looking to work on in the future and just get more and more instances around the world. So it's not just us running it here and everyone relying on us to keep it online, but that there's hundreds or thousands of them run by different techies or Bitcoiners around the world and in different jurisdictions. So like if the Canadian government just came after me really hard one day and shut us down, but you know, there'd be other places you could use, other websites, right? That are run in El Salvador or other freer places, hopefully. So that's something that we're looking at.
I love that. Okay, so you've just ticked my co-host, who's obviously not here tonight. He takes like steaming shits on every product, piece of software, wallet that's not open source. Constantly, it never stops. In fact, it's derailed several programs in the past. So I'm glad to hear that. And also the custodial thing, I think people realize at this point that most of these wallets are custodial and shouldn't be kept. Like any sort of, you know, transient funds you have, like you mentioned, if you want to do coffees or whatever, you take it. But this automated cash out thing is great. I assume you can do on chain or Lightning with that. You planning on doing both?
Yep. Yeah. Outstanding. And Liquid. Yeah. We always got to mention Liquid now.
And Liquid. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Conversation from the time. Okay, cool. Can you top that? I doubt it, but you're going to take your shot here. Let's go. What do you got?
Yeah, for sure. So CoinOS has over 375 businesses using us internationally. We only had about 20 businesses using us about a year ago. So we're growing at that rate, and the rate that we're growing is exponentially growing, like a snowball effect. Like, so that means in the next year from now, we should much more than double that number in the next year. At the rate that we're growing, we got the bull run coming up as well. And when we onboarded the majority of these businesses, when I say we, I mean we as a whole community. It's not all me. It's not all Adam. There's other people in the world. We onboarded these businesses during a bear market.
That's nuts.
We had over 100 businesses using us during a bear market, right? Like not anyone, but a lot of people can onboard a couple of businesses during a bull market because everyone's like, oh, so much euphoria everywhere, right? The mania. And with 35 businesses in Vancouver alone, like there's so much opportunity to be part of a circular economy here. And then we have the lowest fees in the world, 0.1% conversion fee. If you choose to transfer within Bitcoin on chain to Lightning to Liquid back and forth. So it's optional. So if you go from CoinOS to CoinOS with Lightning, it's 0% fees. There's the lowest in the world, lowest in the world. and to create an account, you can create an account in less than 10 seconds.
It's easy. You can use anyone's name, people you like, maybe people you don't like, whoever you feel like at the moment. Yeah, anyone, really.
As long as it's not taken.
Sorry, Dave. Okay, boys. Let's wrap there. Tell people one more time if they want to know more. Your Twitter handle is Noster. Website, the floor is all yours. Tell them where they can find you.
I'm Adam Saltes on Twitter. The Coinos account is Coinos Wallet on Twitter. And the website is coinos.io. Down at the bottom of the home page is our link tree with links to our Instagram, Facebook, and other socials, YouTube, and all that. Look us up.
Yeah. Coinos.io, the link tree link on our webpage has all of our social medias there, the Instagram, Twitter, and
you love to see it. God bless, boys. Thanks for coming on.
And we're on Noster. Yeah.
You have to mention Noster. It's in the service, boys. Come on, you have to mention that. You get your Noster name verified when you sign up. You can't beat that. Sure. Now I got Dave Bradley at Noster. I'm about
and,
to.
And I'll just add, we host 4 to 5 meetups per month.
Okay, yeah, talk about that because people come to the chat and they want to know about meetups too. So right. give me the quick before we go.
Yeah, for sure. So it is in our link tree on our website, our meetup information. But if they want to get an even faster link, it's meetup.com/BitcoinPrivilege. If they want to just go to the meetup app. So 4 to 5 meetups per month. Awesome. Where we just hang out, have coffee, we educate each other, or we just, you know, just talk. There's been a bunch of times where it's all very experienced people there, so we don't need to educate each other, but we just hang out and then might learn a couple things from each other, right? And then sometimes it's all newcomers. We onboard people. Not only do we onboard them with a Coinos wallet, but we actually help them make their first purchase with Bitcoin. So we onboard people into Bitcoin and get them to make a purchase. Now they can tell all their friends, hey, not only did I get into Bitcoin, but I actually used it to pay for something.
I love it. You do that for free. You can actually go to the meetups for free, unlike Orange Pill app. But I don't want to talk about that too much tonight. Okay, so until next, everyone, take care of yourself. Coinos.io. Make sure you go use the web app because the thing is slick. Do not let this go undownloaded by you. Take care of yourselves.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks for having us.
Well done, guys. Great.
Are you a fan of the old school NHL 94 game? On the Genesis or SNES? Why not check out my show, the NHL 94 Podcast, from tournaments and tactics to the people who make up this community. Check it out wherever you listen to podcasts or find it on YouTube.